This podcast is brought to you by the Legarten Institute. I'm Sianne Hansen, Executive Director, and we hope you enjoy this conversation.
I am Anne Applebaum. I'm the Director of the Transitions Forum at the Legarten Institute, and I'm really pleased to be speaking to Peter Salisbury, who writes for Democracy Lab, which is our joint project with Foreign Policy magazine. It explores political and economic transitions all over the world. Thank you for coming, Peter.
Thank you for having me.
Peter, you are an acknowledged expert on Yemen. Yemen is one of those countries that's hard to follow from afar because it gets talked about in very cliched terms. You've written recently about the degree to which Yemen is a local conflict and the degree to which it is or could become a Saudi-Iranian proxy war. Mm. Could you lay that out for us? Could you explain your views?
Sure. So in Yemen, we've really got two things, and it's the same across the region. We've got people vying for power and for resources at a local level, old rivals who know each other very well, who are now in the midst of a conflict which is being exacerbated by regional and international tensions. So we've got this group, the Houthis, who are from what was a marginalized religious sect from the north of the country, Zaydism, a form of Shia Islam, although different from the 12 practiced in Iran, who for many, many years were sidelined, having been the most powerful group, more or less, in Yemen. And the Houthis, between 2004 and 2010, fought with the central government, which in turn was backed by a regime made up of Ali Abdullah Saleh, Yemen's former president, and a conservative faction, a conservative bloc of Sunni groups, tribesmen, military leaders, and clerics. And what we've seen since 2011, since Yemen's Arab Spring, is a reordering of the way that conflict has worked, where the Sunni conservative faction split away from the regime in 2011. And after that, the former President Saleh started working more or less alongside the Houthis to first get revenge against these guys from breaking for his regime, and secondly, to regain power himself and find a new form of power. But these guys are old adversaries. The difference is that the Saudis have come to see the Houthis, this militia, who Saleh has been working alongside, as being a proxy for Iran. They've decided that Iran is the greatest regional threat, and they've started backing this Islamist faction, which they basically dumped in 2013 because they decided they were part of the Muslim Brotherhood. They decided they were a terrorist organization, or they designated them one. And at the same time, as the Saudis have started to back the Houthis, the Iranians, who were giving the Houthis some support, but I think a very small amount.
As the Saudis began to attack the Houthis.
Yes. As the Saudis started, backing this other faction, but also, yes, attacking the Houthis. So at the beginning of this year, they started bombing the country with the aim of getting rid of the Houthis. The Iranians have started giving the Houthis more and more support. And as the conflict has enlarged across the country, we're seeing various different actors from across the region backing various different factions as this becomes sort of a multifaceted civil war.
Mm-hmm. In that outline of the situation, you didn't mention the United States or the West. Do we have a role there? Should we have a role there? What attitude should we have towards this conflict?
Well, the US's primary concern in Yemen has always been, or has been for a long time, counterterrorism. The presence of al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula, the local franchise of al-Qaeda, which from 2009 onwards was seen as being the deadliest of the al-Qaeda franchises with respect to international attacks on American interests. And that hasn't changed, really. Throughout Yemen's transition, the US was really focused on counterterrorism. But what's happened is, since they've withdrawn and since the president has been forced into exile by the Houthis, the Americans have had less eyes on the ground, and the Saudis, since they began attacking the Houthis and began attacking Yemen, have paid very little attention to al-Qaeda. So there's a lot of fear, I think, among Western policymakers that al-Qaeda will expand in Yemen and will become more powerful, and this will also become a sectarian conflict. But there's also the issue that the US, the UK, and other Western powers have these deeply entrenched relationships with Saudi Arabia, They sell them a lot of arms. They depend on them for oil, and they see them as they see the Saudis as their main regional partner. But at the same time, there's a lot of criticism being directed towards the Saudi because of their bombing campaign and because of the economic blockade of Yemen. I think there's an issue for Western policymakers here of optics, of the way that this looks. They're backing the region's richest country as it bombs the region's poorest country and precipitates a major humanitarian disaster. And I think that if we go, as is actually quite likely, into a period where Yemen faces a major famine, there will be a lot of pressure brought to bear by the media and by ordinary people on the UK and the US governments in particular for their relationship with Saudi Arabia and for not re-reining the Saudis in.
And to what degree is Saudi responsible for the famine? Is it they're blockading Yemen?
Yeah, so the big issue really is that Yemen's a major importer of food and it depends on imported fuel to keep the country running. So 90% of wheat, 100% of rice has historically been imported into Yemen, and these are the basic staples in the national diet. At the same time, people use fuel to transport goods across the country, to transport themselves, but also to produce water from the ground. So without fuel coming into the country and food coming into the country, there are major shortages. And at the same time, the bombing campaign has knocked out electricity, it has stopped the economy from functioning, as has the lack of fuel. So people don't have jobs. So even where goods are available at really highly inflated prices, they can't afford to pay for them. And that really is precipitating a major humanitarian disaster. The economy was collapsing before, but this bombing campaign has really, really just sort of pushed it over the edge.
Thank you very much. Something to watch out for.
Thank you for your time.
To hear more podcasts from the Legatum Institute, please visit our iTunes channel or website at www.li.com.